Joe in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brian Colangelo is president of the team. A lot of people, you know, have concerns about this being dysfunctional. I just don't think it's that, you know, I don't think there's any dysfunction at all here, do you?
Mr. Blair, nice to be on with you this morning. I just want to say you stole a little bit of my thunder. I don't think under Mr. Lewicki's watch that he would allow Colangelo to meddle. He's too smart for that. He knows that would never work. I want to make a couple other points.
Sure.
I love Jack Armstrong, but I just wanted to say to Jack that this is not a charity. I don't care that he's a good guy or whatever. I want someone who gets the job done. As my buddy Blair likes to say, I like my GM to screw the other GMs if he can, which Brian Burke failed to do. I also wanted to say this. This is my concern now as a fan, as someone who used to be a great fan of basketball, who's lost a lot of passion for this team under Colangelo's watch. First of all, I can easily argue that he came into a situation that is much better than the next GM. When he came in, they had some decent veterans around like Antonio Davis, Mike James. There was a $20 million cap room that was gone with Jalen Rose. He had the first overall pick in the draft. He had Charlie V as a second-year player. He had a young all-star in Chris Bosh. He had a good young point guard in Calderon. And when you look at the team now, I see a lot of overpaid players. They have no first-round draft pick. They're up against it at the cap. I don't know what GM in his right mind would really want this job, because you're basically looking at 2 years before you could even get a first-round pick. I apologize, but Mr. Colangelo, when he was fired, should have been given a ride to the airport. I want him out of the city. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Well, I think you probably, I appreciate the call and I appreciate the sentiment. I think you've probably put in words what a lot of people feel. Here's the thing with Brian Colangelo, and I pointed it out in the Globe and Mail today. When he signed Hedo Turkoglu, and I know we went over this with Paul and Eric yesterday, but when he signed Hedo Turkoglu, everybody in this city wrote about what a great move it was. Brian Colangelo being bold, going into the free agent market, maybe this means free agents will come to Toronto, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and people hold Hedo Turkoglu out against over Brian Colangelo's head. And you know what? I'd rather have my GM try to bring in a free agent and swing and miss than stand at the plate and look at a called third strike. So I'm not going to hammer Brian Colangelo for bringing in Hedo Turkoglu, the fact that Hedo Turkoglu was, you know, just a total, total mess in the dressing room, a total non-factor on the court. Just not a decent, not a good guy. Let's say decent guy, just not a good guy, not a good fit for this team. Well, Brian Colangelo made a move that just about everybody in the basketball community heralded at the time. So it is patently unfair to hold out Hedo Turkoglu over him. Where I have an issue, you know, people keep saying, well, the Chris Bosh thing kind of played out. You know, there wasn't much he could do. Here's the thing. Brian Colangelo got paid a crap load of money to make sure stuff like Chris Bosh didn't happen. You don't want him being as smart as, with all due respect, Eric or Paul or me or you or Bob McCown or whoever. You want him to be smarter because that's why you're paying him the big bucks. And that wasn't the case. And I think if you look at what Brian Colangelo has done since Chris Bosh left, I mean, he's basically been, it's almost been manic. It's like moves for the sake of moves, pieces for the sake of pieces. It really, it's been an inconsequential, I would say, 3 years. And the caller's right. New guy comes in. He looks at Rudy Gay, who is overpaid for what he produces. That's not a knock against Rudy Gay. That's someone else's decision to overpay him. But it still holds. He's overpaid. You don't need to sign him to an extension. You don't want to sign him to extension. The team that he was with is better since he left. You don't. Rudy Gay should not be a building block for this team. Kyle Lowry, do you think he can play point guard? I mean, are you any more certain about it now than you were when the trade happened? I loved the trade initially. Thought it was great. Hey, this is the anti-Jose Calderon. This guy had balls. This guy was going to be, you know, he was that take charge guy you wanted. Well, no, he wasn't. He's a guy fundamentally incapable of making an important decision correctly late in the game. It's a lot of misfit pieces in this team. There's a lot of guys you wouldn't mind having around. Valanciunas is going to be good. You wouldn't mind having DeMar DeRozan around. Amir Johnson's a good guy to have around. I like Terrence Ross's game. The rest of them, I don't know. I think the caller's right. The new guy who comes in has got a hell of a lot of work to do. Anybody who thinks that, you know, as Brian Colangelo said, you're just putting the finishing touches here. You're putting the finishing touches in a team that isn't good enough to make the playoffs. A team that appears not to match up with its current coach, its defensive-minded coach. So I don't know what the hell the finishing touches are here. And this is, I guess, fundamentally, this is where I have an issue with what Brian Colangelo said yesterday. The idea that somehow he wants to be part of this rebuild. You know, with all due respect to Brian Colangelo, what exactly are the Raptors rebuilding here? It's not like they're rebuilding a championship team that had to be stripped down because of finances, or a championship team that had to be stripped down because its marquee player left. Basically rebuilding because of a bunch of bad decisions by Brian Colangelo. Now, what the hell makes him think that he should have any say in the rebuilding when it was his decisions that directly led to this rebuild? John in Pottageville, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Colangelo has been sent to his office to shoot rubber bands and make paperclip chains. I doubt very much if he's back in the fall. I really do think his kids get out of school and there's a possibility he gets a job. But if he don't get a job, I doubt very much if he's going to be back in the fall. I think he'll just resign.
Yeah, he's under contract for a year and then he's gone. So, I mean, he doesn't even have to resign. He will not be back.
I don't think you run a team and now you're a nobody. I can't see why he'd want to stay.
Well, you know what? I will take Brian at his word that he likes Toronto, that his family likes Toronto. And you know what? His family's at an age, his kids are at an age where you do have to take into account schools, high schools, and all that stuff. And yeah, look, I don't like Brian Colangelo as a basketball guy. I think he made a lot of bad decisions. I think he sent this franchise back years and left an awful mess for the next guy who comes in. But you know what? He's been a good corporate citizen. He's been a good corporate spokesman. He's been a good citizen in Toronto. You know what? You want to pay the guy to keep him around for a year, give him busy work, and let him get a job someplace else next year. I have no problem with that.
I just think it's pride on his part. I don't think he can handle it.
Well, that's, John, I cannot disagree with you in that. That's I think there's an element of that, too. And I think he's also smart enough to realize, as Jack Armstrong said, that it's easier to get a job when you have a job. There's still a certain cachet. You know, the press release, when his next job, the press release says Colangelo, comma, who was Raptors president, comma, as opposed to Colangelo, comma, you know, who was fired or whose option was not picked up by the Raptors. And it just reads easier. It's easier to make a move that way. Keith in Oakville, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brian Colangelo's still around. A lot of people seem to have an issue with that. You know, what the hell? I think let's just move on. Let's get the new guy in here. And the second that there's even a hint that Brian Colangelo is trying to worm his way into any decision-making process, you get his ass out of there.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm happy.
Man, of course. If you're a Raptor fan, there's enough basketball topics to talk basketball for the entire day or days, because this is such an evolving story. I mean, think of it. First of all, I know Tim Lewicki quite well from people that I do business with in Atlanta and different places. He's a world leader. And MLSC got a great guy. Other than Keith Pelley in Toronto, Rogers media guy, who I thought, you know, but it wouldn't work because of the Bell Consortium ownership thing. But I think Tim is a great leader, and he understands how to bring sizzling and bring great leaders in. So looking forward, the Raptors are going to be great down the road. How about Phil Jackson coming to Toronto one day to coach, the L.A. connection that Tim brings here? I mean, there's a lot of great potential down the road as a coach. But Brian, he's a pedigree, as everybody talked about, with his royalty family in basketball. You're not going to fire Brian Colangelo, no matter what mistakes he made or perceived mistakes. Chris Bosh would never have signed because of the friendship that he had with LeBron. Those guys made the deal, not the agents, that they're going to play together. There are some circumstance that fans really need to forgive, and he just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing about, and I agree with you, I certainly agree with you about you don't fire Brian Colangelo. I certainly agree with you in that. Phil Jackson, I think Phil Jackson, the guys, I just don't think he wants to coach. I think he wants a kind of an overseer's job. I'd love to have him in here eventually.
Jeff, he loved challenges. I tell you, Toronto is a work city, world-class challenge. Could he bring it at the 12th championship here? Who would want to take that with a great leader like Tim in place? Think of the Beckham situation, LA Galaxy. I'm saying this on this show, maybe, right?
No, that's all right.
If it happens, I said it first, right?
Yeah, no, that's all right. But, you know, I just don't... What I like about the way Lewicki has done this is, you know, I think he's smart enough to keep everybody happy. I'm not certain this happens necessarily if he isn't in here. And I really do think there's an element of, after really giving Larry Tannenbaum a slap in the face with Brian Burke, I think there's a real element here of, you know, look, we've got to keep, let's try to keep all sides happy here.
I would agree with that because, you know, Larry obviously is the guy that nobody can ever replace given his agreements with all the other big partners. But there's no shotgun to make Larry look bad. So you gotta satisfy him at all time. And I like Larry a lot. He's done a lot here. So I think from a business point of view. But going forward, though, the one thing I want to say to you on this is that Brian, what he did, we all know the drafts and the stakes, mm-hmm. but he will stay out of basketball. I really believe that. He understands his role. He's going to not have a lot to do for a while, but he'll move on and land somewhere else very nicely. He got paid well here. He's a nice man. I met him a number of times, shake his hand at games. And, you know, he's a good guy, and I would not have wanted to see them, you know, just say Brian has been fired.
No, Keith, he's definitely, he's a real good person. As I said, he's been a good citizen in this city. You know, I go back and forth on the Bosch thing, though, because I understand what you're saying. We know that those three players, Bosch, Wade, and LeBron, had that pact between them. And I think the agents may have been involved to a certain degree, but it's the old story. If three people get together and basically say, hey, we'll take less to play together as a group, there's not a great deal you can do as a GM. But I keep getting back to this point. You know, and Eric and Paul, Paul Jones and Eric Smith brought this up yesterday about, okay, people hold Chris Bosch over Brian Colangelo's head. You know, and it was Paul who said, you know, would you trade Chris Bosch with a team that was right on the cusp of the playoffs? You know, why would you go out and trade Chris Bosch? And I thought about it a bit yesterday, and here's the thing. I understand you want to get in the playoffs. I understand that it was hard to get value for Chris Bosch when Brian Colangelo may have come to the conclusion that he wasn't going to come back. By then it was too late. But you know what? If I'm GM of this team, knowing the history of this team, knowing the history of players leaving here, being able to look ahead to the whole thing with LeBron, if I'm the all-seeing master of basketball puppetry that Brian Colangelo is supposed to be, I got to swallow hard and move Chris Bosch because I don't want to leave my franchise getting nothing in return. I really don't. Same thing with Roy Halladay and the Blue Jays. Yeah, make the decision. Move on. And that really, really, I think, really hurt this franchise. You can't lose assets and get very little in return. And I just think that maybe it was a case of Brian overestimating his own abilities. Chris in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good morning. I totally agree with what you're saying, and I just want to add a small point to what you just said. If he had traded Chris Bosch, imagine the value what he would have got back. Just imagine what that really would have been. It would have been enormous. But I want to talk about Colangelo's drafting of players because I think one of the major weaknesses of what he actually did is drafting players because he wanted to make players comfortable. I'm of the belief, and I was of the belief, that we should have taken LaMarcus Aldridge the year that they took Bargnani because, one, it was Chris Bosh's boy, And two, look at the production now. I know I'm talking in hindsight 2020 yeah. right now, but look at the production of what's actually happened. It was those decisions right there. It's like how Portland took Greg Oden and they should have took Kevin Durant. It's the same type of thing. That GM got waxed. But, you know, we still need a point guard. I'm sorry. Kevin, Kyle Lowry is not a winning point guard in the NBA.
Yep.
He's a solid point guard. We don't have a point guard. I would much rather Calderon than Kyle Lowry. We're very far behind. And I want to say this. Colangelo didn't change either because in this last draft, he took Terrence Ross. Yes, he had Valanciunas. Yes, Terrence Ross is not ready now. But if you look at the next pick, Andre Drummond, who is also not ready like Terrence Ross, Colangelo has this thing of drafting players to make them feel comfortable instead of really trying to put competition. And I think, in my opinion, when you have competition, it elevates the entire process and the entire team as opposed to making a guy feel comfortable to grow. So I think in doing what he did and not taking another big just because he already has Valanciunas, he actually also put us back that way. Yes, Terrence Ross is not ready and could be better, but we'll see again how that's going to play out. Who's better, Terrence Ross or Andre Drummond? And that's just my point.